This is the Andres Segovia Show.
Hey everyone, it's Andres, and I'm doing another reaction video. Someone else is announcing that, or being asked the question if they're leaving California too. So I haven't seen this video. I'm curious about it. I'm familiar with the Dave Rubin Report, so I have an idea that this is a sit-down, long-form interview. This is just a clip of that, though. The question being, is Adam leaving California too? So I haven't seen this. I'm interested in checking it out. I'm not entirely sure what he has to weigh in on all this, besides just another, I guess, high-profile celebrity. For those of you that are familiar with Adam Carolla, in being that just another one of those types is going to be leaving, because since my last reaction video, more high-profile celebrities, businesses, and business types have announced that they're leaving or have already left. So this is just another one of those that have the ability to leave in what is called the California Exodus or Cal Exit. Although there's another thing about Cal Exit. Anyway, also hashtag said California. So let's find out what this is all about.
I'm Dave Rubin, and this is the Rubin Report. Joining me today is a best-selling author, co-star of the wonderful documentary No Safe Spaces, and host of the Adam Carolla Show podcast. Adam Carolla, welcome back to the Rubin Report.
Always good to be back, Dave.
All right, Carolla, we got a lot to do here because this is my last interview of 2020. And we said, who can we get on the show to end the year that is not completely fucking bananas? And you were on the short list. There were only about two other people, and we couldn't get them, so we got you. You're on the short list of Dave Rubin's sane people. How does that make you feel?
You know, when I write my next autobiography, it's going to be titled From the Short Bus to the Short List, the Adam Carolla story. Nice to be on the short list.
Yes, you have done it, my friend. All right, first off, I got to ask you something, because there is a rumor going around town. My guys, my team, seem to believe this rumor that you're moving to Texas. Now, when I talk about short lists, on my short list of LA people, I got Adam Carolla, I got Dennis Prager, I got Larry Elder, John Voight. That's it. Are you leaving us? You're going to Houston?
No, not just yet. I did a hit on Tucker Carlson, I guess, last week, and they brought the van to my house. And Tucker always does the, when you leave in L.A. Yeah. And I think he grew up in, I think, L.A. and San Diego. So a lot of the guys, and him and Shapiro are the two when you leave in L.A. guys, because they were in L.A. and they left. And I've always been in L.A. So just off the cuff, because we're in this van that was a satellite van, I just, as an improvisational comedian, I just said, oh, Tucker, as soon as this hits over, I'm going to commandeer this van and I'm driving to Houston. And for some reason, that didn't come across as a joke to a lot of people. But you should have seen that it was a joke, people, because If I was going to Houston, I would certainly do it on a Southwest flight. I don't think I'd commandeer
you wouldn't,
$250,000 satellite van.
You wouldn't take the satellite van from Fox News and drive that all the way to Texas. You'd do it first class on Southwest. I get it.
All right. Okay, so I guess this is piggybacking off something I didn't see. I did not know that. I guess Adam is promoting a documentary that he did. So he's doing the press and all that. I did not hear about him possibly leaving California. But with respects to Dave's shortlist, yeah, that's pretty much among the top name of conservatives that seem to remain in California. So that's a pretty fascinating list. Of note, Dave is not a conservative. In fact, he's, I guess you could say, he identifies as a libertarian, but he wasn't a conservative, and he doesn't really hold conservative values, and he'll be the first to admit it too. He's just someone that invites people of all walks of life to come have a conversation with him on his show, which is why I really respect his program, because he had a lot of different individuals on his program, ranging from all walks of life. So anyway, Let's proceed.
I feel like just from a mileage standpoint, it would cost much more to take that satellite van.
All right. So I'm glad to hear it. Sounds like you're staying for a little bit. But I did have you over for dinner a couple months ago, and you said you were on a 3-year plan. And we're watching Cali just fall apart. I'm a native New Yorker, but I've been here 7 years. You're from SoCal, man. What the high hell is going on here?
Yeah, my kids are just getting into high school, if you want to call it getting into high school, because I walked into both their bedrooms this morning and they're both laying in bed with their covers over them. And I went, hey, I thought it was school time. And they're like, we're on the Zoom class from underneath a comforter. You know, what's happened to L.A., I always thought of L.A. And even California for sure as kind of that hot blonde from high school that was always the belle of the ball, didn't have to study very hard, phone rang every Friday night for a date, really was able to kind of get by on her looks and kind of cruise. And now that blonde is 47 years old and not the belle of the ball anymore. And, you know, if you listen to Gavin Newsom, that guy, I've heard interviews with him going, hey, man, where are you going to go? It's like the 47-year-old blonde saying to the football star, hey, don't you want some of this? And it's like, no, I can find some of that in Texas or Arizona or Nevada or Nashville, Tennessee or whatever. But there's a kind of a thing where it's like when you're used to being the belle of the ball, you don't study that hard. You don't try that hard. I mean, California was always like, we got the beaches, we got the mountains, we got we got Disneyland, we got all this great stuff. So it's like, well, what about how hospitable you are to business? Well, don't worry about that. We got Malibu.
Right.
And what they didn't really factor on, I mean, there's a few things. First off, smart people don't want to just hang out and be essentially abused by their government. Mm-hmm. That's number one. Number two, there's a part of it that's just practical. Like, I grew up out here. My mom had a VW Squareback. She had like a 70s VW station wagon. My dad drove a VW Bug. Forget about driving to Arizona. We couldn't get to Van Nuys from North Hollywood without the thing vapor locking. And like, I talked to a friend of mine, Dickie from the Boss Tones, the lead singer from the band, the Boss Tones. And he was like, yeah, I moved to Arizona. I'm like, oh, so you got to go. He's like, the drive's not bad. I got a great car. It's got Sirius XM and a heater in the seat, and it's like it's not that big of a deal. Like physically, the transportation, you know, the 10 flights a day that are going from Burbank to Phoenix or Jet Suite X, you know, like you can get to Salt Lake City in 55 minutes. Like there's a kind of tangible mechanical part of this. Which is, when I was a kid, if you wanted to move, like buying a ticket on an airline was a big deal, like packing up a Ryder truck. Again, physically didn't have cars that could make it, you know? It's all kind of doable now.
Okay, that is actually a really, really good point. We have all these municipal airports, Southern California. The ones I can immediately think of the top of my head would be Burbank, Long Beach. There's John Wayne Airport in Orange County. There's other little ones too. But that point being made about a commute, not like the back in the days. I'm talking about right now, before we had the lockdowns because of the pandemic and all that. Just to get 25 miles from North Orange County to Central Los Angeles, depending on the time of day, because there is no rush hour, it's just rush day. Just that some parts of the day are more rushed than the others. You would have to plan at least a 1-hour commute to get there, depending on what time you left. So let's say you were leaving around 10:30 a.m. You can conceivably get to downtown Los Angeles between 45 minutes to an hour. If you were leaving before that, let's say between 7 and 10 a.m., you got to plan for an hour and a half. That is crazy, just to cross 25 miles in one direction. And that's just trying to get to work. The way back is worse. So why, I don't know. Maybe because people get to work later, but they all leave at the same time, part-timers, whatever it is. The point is, the way back is even worse. The commute can be 2 hours, 2.5 hours. In some of the work that we do for construction, I have employees that travel out about 45 to 60 miles out from a job site to get to the job site. And to them, that's more convenient than actually living locally in Los Angeles, because the high cost of living, too much traffic and all that. It's like, yeah, but you got way more traffic going the other way. Yeah, but the cost of living is cheaper outside of LA. That's the payoff for staying in traffic. Now, the most extreme sense would be those that live in Bakersfield and commute to Los Angeles for work by car. Bakersfield is, on a clear day, no traffic, at least an hour and a half away. Somehow that's better. So there's some individuals that perhaps don't need to be taking their car, and they're fine taking flights, that would do either a ride and share, because there are a lot of ride and shares, but those don't exactly commute as far. And you still got, in some cases, sit in that traffic. But those that can would take the planes, trains also. My brother's actually one of those. He works in downtown Los Angeles, and he commutes by train. That's the fastest way he gets about. So yeah, what Adam was saying, it in terms of moving around, it's weird, because it's not just vehicular travel anymore. It's trains and planes, just to get from one point to another, just to skip all the traffic. That's crazy. And there are some people that do work from out of state that commute to here through plane, because it's sometimes the same amount of distance should they be living here, but they got a better home outside of here. And those that can are moving out. Like he's saying, before it was very difficult to try to pack up and leave. Now it is more doable than before. Vehicles can make the cross across the Rocky Mountain chain. For those of you that have ever been to California and traveled out to Las Vegas from here, that's the Rocky Mountain chain that many people talk about, for which is why the vehicles don't make it up that mountain. So now that vehicles, more recent ones can, and some people that have upgraded their vehicles can make that move, are making that move. And I know a lot of people that have already been doing so, which is crazy. But yeah, let's finish this interview.
So what do you think the future of this town is? I think you probably have a couple Hollywood friends that still talk to you. I've got one or two that would not be happy if I mentioned their name. But do you think that this town is just now condemned between Garcetti at the city level and Newsom at the state level? Do you think we are just truly condemned, and now Gascon, this new DA, who's not going to arrest people for prostitution or resisting arrest, or a series of other things? Like, how much worse can it get, do you think?
Well, maybe just a little bit, and then maybe it's time, like a horrible alcoholic. Maybe this is the, I've stolen my kid's piggy bank, I'm going to break it open to buy some malt liquor, and I now catch a glance of myself in the mirror, and I've hit rock bottom. Like, maybe that see you in the mirror thing, maybe we're there. I was thinking about Gaston. It's like, loitering's not going to be a problem. Trespassing, not going to be a problem. Underage drinking's not going to be a problem. Prostitution's not going to be a problem. And I thought, where the fuck was this guy when I was in high school? I could have really used this DA when I was in high school.
Not only that, you can steal up to $900. That's what they're telling you. You could steal a PlayStation 5 and like 7 games, but you go into the 8 game range, now you're in trouble.
Yeah, it all seems like a very eerie harbinger. But I hear you brought up Hollywood, like our Hollywood friends. If you think about this, Los Angeles, Hollywood, L.A., always been the sort of hub of production, right? And everything was filmed. Everything, every TV show anyone ever saw around the world was filmed in, you know, Burbank or Culver City, or somewhere in Hollywood. I mean, I've been on I've been to all the stages. I've been all the lots. I used to be at Hollywood Center Studios doing the Man Show, and we did Crank Anchors there. I did Loveline there. And at a certain point, they started getting greedy. They started over-regulating. They started over-taxing. And so what did the most liberal people on the planet do? They started drifting into Atlanta. They started going to Canada, started going to Prague. I mean, they literally just left. So it was called runaway production. And at some point, some semi-sober person thought, we can't just have all of this money just physically leaving the state. And they course corrected a little bit. They were like, well, why don't we offer some incentives for these businesses, Hollywood, not to leave the state to do all, as I've probably told your audience, I drove from this studio where I am sitting right now. Bryan Cranston came in and did the show. Bryan's a good guy, probably one of the more liberal guys in Hollywood. Mm-hmm. And he said, like, I got to catch an Uber to Burbank, to the Burbank airport. And I said, I'll drive to the Burbank airport. It's 4 miles away. Then we jumped in my car. And while we were driving there, he was explaining that Breaking Bad was supposed to be filmed out here. But, of course, they're going to New Mexico to film. And, of course, they lost all that money and all the tourism dollars and all that kind of stuff. So at some point, they kind of wised up and they said, let's give some incentives for these guys to stay. And I gotta believe at some point they're gonna try to do that with business.
If you're looking for more honest and thoughtful conversations about comedy.
Okay, that's actually pretty good. He touched on a couple of things there, and I'm gonna like this video. I actually like that one. Touched on some things because there is the tax incentive to stay here. For anyone that follows anything that I do on my website, www.theandrewsegovia.com, you would know I have a bunch of other interest podcasts that I do, such as movie culture, talk TV, and all that stuff, and soundtracks. I separate that from films because I love talking about, if we're going to talk soundtracks, video games, television, and film score, I talk it all. So it's my favorite subject. There was this problem that occurred in Hollywood that whenever they're working on a budget for a film, one of the first budgets or sections of that budget that gets gutted is the budget for music. And it sucks for the musicians that are union based here in Los Angeles, but sometimes that happens and you would have more, I guess, cookie cutter soundtracks by studios because they, you know, it's cheaper to go that route, for which is why you hear these generic soundtracks, and that sucks. But every now and then some directors and such, they do want that particular sound of a more organic feel, maybe some original score, and maybe they care about the music, so they want that, but the budget would not permit for them to use the more expensive real orchestras here. So they actually started using orchestras outside of California. The two probably most popular ones, well, actually three, but one's across the pond, the London Symphony Orchestra, but they have a long queue. Everybody wants to use them, so they have a long queue. All right, forget that one. But more locally based, the United States, two of them, the Seattle Symphony Orchestra, and I believe the other one was a Utah-based symphony. I forget what they were called. But these two orchestras were used more to provide the music for the films that were being done. And the Hollywood-based orchestras, the freelance and the made-up orchestras, they got upset about that. So they wanted the unions to be writing under clause for any film that's being filmed in Los Angeles, they cannot use outside orchestras. They have to use orchestras in Los Angeles. This was several years ago, maybe a decade ago. And when that happened, that's when you started getting this influx of a lot more generic soundtracks. Unless the budget allowed for it, it wasn't really happening there. Just because, you know, you're trying to corner people into using something. It's like, okay, then I'll just take the entire production out of here. So that's what he was mentioning, Adam Carolla, about a runaway production, because exactly what's happened. There's TV shows, films that have gone out. Georgia is probably one of the most popular places in recent years, where you would hear The Walking Dead started filming there. A lot of Disney productions were being done out of there before it became politically contentious last year, 2019, that is. So yeah, you know, it's a lot of a lot of crazy stuff that happens in California, that's just at the entertainment level. When we talk about the tax level, I mean, people move out of here because they can afford a home, an actual home outside of California. Some of their jobs that have relocated to some of these other more free economic states like Texas and Arizona, they would have openings for individuals from here. I know people whose businesses had their main companies, their headquarters had left the state, and they ended up following suit because the company gave them that option to do so. You know, a lot of the tech giants here, particularly in Cupertino, one of the ways that they were addressing the housing affordability crisis was they would pay for a lot of these apartment projects being built, and they would use them as utilize them as housing for their employees. How sustainable that was, I don't know. I actually covered it in my previous news roundups that I did throughout the year discussing that, and a lot of it was before the pandemic that they were devoting this much money. But then some people didn't want to be locked into a room for a lockdown period. It's like, dude, you're like incarcerated in your own apartment. You can't go anywhere. Rather have your own space if you can, where you can enjoy if you're going to be stuck at home. So I know some people that had it harder than others. The draconian measures the state has taken to try to battle the pandemic, it's based on the science, hasn't been working, but they continuously try to control more. So every time they open just a little bit, individuals in their first chance they get would they leave California. It's happened in New York also. Everywhere there's been the strictest lockdown measures, you see the bigger exodus happening. And those that have been in San Francisco and Los Angeles are trying to get out of the city, but want to remain in Los Angeles, want to remain in the state. But there are those that are in the state that have taken the chances and gotten out of here altogether. And that's been changing the political landscape of the rest of the United States. That's why you heard about a lot of states that are genuinely considered red states have either gone purple or in some cases even blue because of the many people that have left from here, for which is why some other states are actually limiting how many individuals are being received as residents into new states where they're giving priority to the locals there. It's crazy, but that's what's going on. That's the kind of stuff about this California exodus that's going on. As a matter of fact, New York is now on the chopping block when it comes to what I had talked about before in a previous episode, where because of the census, and this is not going to be for this one in the case of New York, but the next time they do take the census, if this keeps up, along with California, they will lose representation in the House of Representatives. That means they'll have less representatives because of the population shrinkage that's been happening in these two states, particularly California. In the last census, California was the first time they did not gain a seat. In this census, it's assumed that it's going to lose a seat in the House of Representatives. So that's the kind of exodus we're talking about. But anyway, I'm glad I reacted to this one. This was actually not exactly what I was expecting, but something a little different. So for those of you that have joined me for this reaction video, thank you so much. You can follow my stuff at www.theindustrygover.com. Remember to like, share, and subscribe if you're watching on YouTube. Share across all the socials when it comes to the podcast catchers, wherever, however you're listening to this, across everything. And of course, don't forget to follow me on the socials wherever I am still available. The most up-to-date you'll find will be on my website because there are changes that I am making or have already made depending on when this episode goes up. So that's it. Thank you so much for joining me on this one. Happy New Year, and I'll see you on the next one.